such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome. The winds have changed. That is for certain, you know.
Yep.
They've been changing for a long time, but It's crazier and crazier and crazier. We've got, I tell you, we really got to keep the faith. We've got to really cleave to Christ. Yesterday was a Feast of All Saints, and today is the commemoration of the holy souls, the souls departed, the day of the dead, as we would call it.
I must admit, I've heard you so many times talk about the first graders.
Right.
And I don't know if I've ever been there to see that, and I was at Mass yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it was really beautiful. I mean,
did you like it?
Yeah, the little kids. The kids just.
Well, I tell you, just so everybody understands what we're talking about. Yesterday was a Feast of All Saints, and so the first graders, they come dressed like the saints.
Yeah,
and I do this every year, but I said, well, what? Why aren't the first graders here? Did you hear the little girl at the
Yes.
end? That was so funny.
Well, I got to tell you, Father, even before that, when you said it first off, you said, okay, well, the first graders are never here. Or you made some, and I got to admit, I sat, oh my God, what happened? What's going on now? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, okay, for the bet, and I didn't pick up on it. I was telling Angelica later on. She says, you idiot. Does this every year.
Right.
But this was the first time. I usually try to get to the 7 o'clock Mass,
right.
But we came to the kids' Mass because,
So we have them all come up. And I mean, the Mass, they did the petitions at the wrong time. I said, I'm just going to go with the flow
with
and just kind of work through this, But so after the homily on All Saints' Days, as yesterday was, I have the saints, our visitors from heaven come up and we had about, there's 24 students, but I think there were only 18 that came, that showed up to school for some reason, but they were all dressed, and some of them really, really pretty good.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But the first one I have to tell you, Emily, her name is Emily, and she chose the Saint Emily. Mm. So I had to read up on that because I really didn't know that there was a Saint Emily in. And of course, Chicago has a church, St. Emily's Church. I didn't know anything about the saint. So I knew beforehand that she was going to be there. I tried to find out who some of the saints are. And because there were so many, I couldn't interview all of them.
Yeah.
So I didn't know exactly what to do, because usually I would talk to each one, ask them to, who are you, and a little bit about why are you a saint. But her mother told me, that on the way to school, and they were with some other, with Yolanda, was they came together. These are people from the parish, we know. And they said all the way to school, she's dressed in her, in the nun, they actually ordered a nun outfit for her.
Wow.
So that was really, she really looked really, really nice. And all the way from her home to the school, she's telling Jasmine and Yolanda all about St. Emily, what she did, how she lived when she was born, everything. She knew everything about it. And that's all she's doing. She's talking all the way to school about St. Emily. So she happened to be the first. And so I said, and who are you? And silence. She didn't say anything. And so I was trying to coax, but she just complete stage fright.
It's kind of hard in front of the whole everybody. Right. And she's talking on a mic. One of those kids was like really yelling into the,
Yeah, the mic. Jonathan. Yeah. Actually took an Old Testament character. But anyway, we had two, let's say they bilocate, they trilocate. We had a couple of Franciscans who looked really nice, didn't they? They had a very nice their costumes.
The costumes were so nice.
Our Lady Guadalupe, you could tell exactly who that was. So it was nice. And then last night at the mass, we had a beautiful mass last night. I have to tell you, it really was so nice, and a lot of people. And I was talking about, I mentioned a little bit about the saints who had visited, and we had this visitation of saints in the morning, and then when communion came, I realized we had some dressed up like saints
too.
There. So, and they were actually sitting in the front row, but to the other side from where the ambo is, and so I
couldn't see them.
Didn't really recognize them in their outfits, and so at the very end of the mass, I invited them to come up, and I said, "Oh, you know," so I wanted everybody to see. So the first one was dressed like a pope, you know, and I knew it was the Holy Father, the pope. And I said, "So what saint are you?" And he said, "Francisco." You know, I says, "No, he's not a saint. He is not a saint. You're Pope Saint John Paul II." You know, and I had to catch myself, but because you could take that either way.
I could see somebody saying, "Oh,
right." Francis is still alive, you know, but in any case, I said, no, you're not Francis. He's not a saint. You're Pope Saint John Paul II. Mm-hmm. And we had, there were four or five of them, but Saint Rita and Saint Martin de Pours.
Wow.
And in another one, I'm not quite sure who she was. I don't remember, but anyway, it's always just a beautiful mass. It's one of my favorite days of the year, All Saints Day, and today, of course, is a commemoration of the Holy Souls or the souls. I guess we'd say, do we say Holy Souls or because they're in purgatory? These are the souls in purgation, undergoing the final purgation before they. Are received into heaven, but those who are in purgatory will go to heaven, you know. But they're, and it's really an act of God's mercy that if we die with inordinate attachments to this world, or sins that haven't been repented, or there hasn't been any reparation. The point is, you know, we have to. And I was reading this morning about hell, actually, and. We don't speak about that a lot, and I have to say, quite honestly, reading what I read made me realize how we really need to preach conversion, repentance from sin, turning our lives over to God, because, you know, there are two destinations, heaven and hell. Purgatory is a state of purgation before going to heaven. But I brought it down here. I just want to read this. I have to kind of decipher this because a lot of this is Thomistic. It's from St. Thomas. And so it's a little bit complicated, but there's a number of questions and the people would normally ask, and the answers are given. But quoting St. Thomas of Aquinas.
Good person to answer them.
you're right, exactly. But it's just, you have to almost really think about what he's saying.
It's
not an easy answer. But the article ends, it's really called The Seven Teachings on Hell from St. Thomas Aquinas. It ends, St. Thomas does not cite a scripture for this conclusion. Okay, I forgot about it. However, certain texts in the text about the Last Judgment emphasize a kind of definitive separation. For example, in Matthew 25, we read this, "All the nations will be gathered before the Son of Man, And he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Clearly, hell is a tragic and eternal separation from God. Repentance, which unlocks mercy, is available to us all. But after death, like clay pottery placed in a kiln, our decision is forever fixed. Choose the Lord today. Judgment day looms. Now is the time to admit our sins humbly and to seek the Lord's mercy. There is simply nothing more foolish than defiance and an obstinate refusal to repent. At some point, our hardened hearts will reach a state in which there is no turning back. To die in such a condition is to close the door of our heart on God forever. That's a pretty powerful statement, I think, but I don't, this presumption that we can kind of do anything we want, that there aren't real serious consequences at the end of all things, is a very dangerous a disposition to live with. We shouldn't presume salvation. We know we've been saved through the blood of the cross, that we've been redeemed, we've been saved, but that salvific act on the part of Christ, which is his love taken to the extreme, it's a manifestation of his greatest attribute, which is mercy. God, forgive them, they know not what they do. He lays down his life for his friends. No greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. He took sin to himself. What more could he do to prove or to show us that that he desires our salvation? He's saved us, but it's a relationship of love, and so it requires a response. We have to humbly respond, certainly in all humility, admit our need for God, because we are in a weakened state, where we are sinners. And so this need to daily repent is extremely important. But to live with an unrepentant heart is very dangerous, very dangerous. Or to presume that if there's a God and God is love, then I can do anything I want. As I've said many times, you know, God's love is not permissive. He doesn't permit us to do whatever we want. He's very clear about the fact that that we have to abide by the commandments of God. That our what's required of us in life is to know God, to love God, and to serve God. We come from God. We go to God. We have to choose to live in God. And to live in God is to be obedient to his commandments. It's to live a life of virtue, high virtue. It means that we have to be a praying people, because that's, you know, how we nurture and cultivate intimacy with God, and how we, what we do in prayer is we open ourselves to the grace of God in order to maintain, to stay on this narrow path. When we mention this so often as well, Jesus said the path to eternal life is narrow. It's a difficult path, and few people can stay on this path. And Peter said, well, Lord, how can man be saved? And Jesus said, for man, it's impossible, but for God, all things are possible. We can't presume that, we don't need to try too hard to stay on this path. When Jesus says, for God, all things are possible, it means that God will give the grace for our purgation, our transformation, our sanctification, our salvation. But we have to be disposed. We have to be receptive to that grace. We have to open ourselves to that grace and have within us a true sensitivity for God, knowledge of God, love of God, service rendered to God, and that service is rendered in obedience to his commandments, and the service we render one to another. But we need God's grace because by nature we're egocentric, yet we're created in the image and likeness of God. We're loved into life. We're created to be good. It's in our nature. We're created for God, but we have this the corruption of this world, the original sin, which we're cleansed of that sin in baptism, but we're still every day feeling the effect of the sin. That's why we're not condemned to be here forever. This is death is necessary. It's necessary because death is the only way out of this valley of tears, this place of suffering and pain, into the to fully realize the kingdom of God, away from this world that is passing away. What's so terribly sad today is, and I've got a series of articles here. I've looked at them this morning, just mm-hmm. reading quickly through a number of them. But there's some really good articles. But this boast of atheism, people boasting of atheism, which is so prominent today in our society and in the world, is a very frightening thing. It's very dangerous. Because it's not only does it have adverse consequences, but it's also about damnation. If we're going to harden our hearts, really harden our hearts and reject God. Now, see, God is going to. I truly believe that God gives sufficient grace to everybody for salvation. He's saved us, and he'll. There are these epiphanies we have in the course of a life journey, but if we're not open, if we're not humble, because what eventually brings us to hell is again a hardened heart, to be obstinate, to be prideful. Pride is the end. What brings us to heaven is humility and docility before the gratitude. Yeah. And generosity in response to God's love and this great manifestation of that he laid down his life in order to redeem us and to save us. Only God knows what's in the heart, right? And so if people are seemingly obstinate or they claim to be atheistic through their own ignorance or through, only God knows what is bringing people to such a thinking, a type of thinking or a kind of life choice, a mm-hmm. disposition that refuses God. But God will manifest himself to that person. But if they remain obstinate, hard-hearted, full of themselves, then, in other words, there's not an affirmative response to God's love. It's a rejection of God. Then it's we who condemn ourselves. We mm-hmm. damn ourselves. So anyway, we'll take a break and we will pray and talk a little bit about All Saints Day, All Souls Day. And boy, I wish I could really decipher this. I'll maybe go through these questions mm-hmm. on the questions people would ask about hell, because we don't talk about hell.
Yeah.
We don't talk about hell because it just seems, because it really does seem to be the, antithesis of God's love, God's merciful love, that anybody would go to hell. And yet all we have to do is open our eyes and look around.
That's the thing. It's becoming so evident.
It's becoming very evident. Yeah. Right. And even for that reason, perhaps I think of not only certainly the Holy Mass, but the chaplet that is it perpetuates the grace of the Mass. The prayer itself is a prayer of gratitude and invoking God's mercy. How important it is, because Jesus told St. Maria Faustina, which is a gospel teaching. He's not frozen in the pages of sacred scripture. And so these saints who have these locutions or these apparitions or this spiritual intuition, when certainly in the case of St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, from whom we get the chaplet of the Divine Mercy and the image of God's mercy, or the image of Christ in mercy. It's really an apocalyptic an image taken from the book of the Apocalypse to some degree. But Jesus said, he says, you're living in a time of mercy. I desire to pour mercy into your life before the great day of judgment. Because when that day comes, it'll be too late. It'll be too late. And so it's really the fault of the church to withhold from the people of God the full counsel of God. As I mentioned so often, quoting St. Paul, I'm not saying the church officially, because it's in the teachings of the church, it's in the doctrine and the dogmas of the church. I say what we need is, we don't need, my personal opinion is, you know, we don't need so much more dialogue and more, you know, how are we going to accommodate or how are we going to engage the world. We know what we have to do. We've got the sacraments. We've got sacred scripture. We've got sacred tradition. We've got the apostolic teachings of the church. It's a sacred tradition, the magisterial teachings of the church. We've got everything. We just got to live it. We've got to live it.
That's the hard part.
Well, it's a hard part, but if we're gonna domesticate Jesus and his message, in other words, if we're gonna communicate to the world a kind of permissive God, that, well, it's okay if you do this or that, God is love, and you know, then we're doing people a disservice, and we become irrelevant. We become irrelevant, and so people. Why do I need the discipline of religion? Why do I need the discipline of the faith? Why do I need to go to Mass if it's just a community meal? It's a gathering of the people of God. It becomes more man-centered than God-centered, seemingly, or God is revealed. I mean, you hear this from people all the time. Mass is boring. Especially from the kids. Well, if the parents teach them, and if we teach them, we've got to teach them gratitude. You know what God has done for you. That your life is temporal in this world. We're living. Life is a very precious gift. It's a very fragile gift, and so we must show gratitude to God for what God has done for us. That He's redeemed us. He saved us. We're not condemned to be here forever. And not only do we go in gratitude, but we go to renew our covenant with the Lord to offer, and I keep repeating this because it's just become the very essence, in just a sentence, it explains what the Mass is, what we do at Mass. We offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Our spiritual worship. That's how we participate. We're not there to be entertained. We're not there to be, you know, see how many people can do how many things so that the whole sanctuary is just this constant movement of people doing this and that and whatever. But it's know that we're there humbly on our knees in adoration of God and thanksgiving to God, interceding and offering our lives to God in order to be renewed and to receive a Christ. He feeds us with himself, that we not collapse, and that we give witness, that we are his emissaries, his disciples, bearing light in the world's darkness. If we're going to accommodate the world, if we're going to try to appease the world, become one with the world, then we're not living the gospel message. Jesus says you're going to be at enmity with the world. Satan is a prince of darkness, the father of lies. He's a prince of this world. And yet the world, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, not to condemn, but to save. But we've got to acknowledge our need for salvation. To be saved from what? Save me from myself. Save me from the evil that is ever present in this world. Save me from the inherent attack that comes to my mind, my body, my soul, and my spirit. You know, so it's, but this is where I think the church has just fallen into a very, which is demonic. It's demonic, fallen into this trap of, what would you call it, accommodation, or, you know, that we've got to somehow make this, somehow we're going to win people back if we make this a wonderful, good experience. You know, it's, it's and the church is disturbed that young people are going to the traditional masses, to the extraordinary form, or even to our own church too. You know, there it's disturbing to them because we're not following the innovations that came out of the Second Vatican Council. The council was good in and of itself. The documents were beautiful, but it's how people tried to implement their own agenda in the name of the council, and it's absolutely failed. Yeah, there's no denying that. But now to see that there's where are the young people going? And they're looking for truth.
Yeah,
they want the full counsel of God. They don't want to be coddled or treated with this. They want to know the truth, and they want genuine worship of God, which is not the, as we keep saying, the kumbaya, the happy-go-lucky. It's as I always say, and we'll take the break. We're already halfway into the show, but in the Catholic Mass, if prayed, offered properly, saint and sinner can be seated side by side. Those who are in a state of great joy for having been newly engaged, a woman finds out that she's pregnant with child, a man finds he's got a job. Anyway, they come in gratitude and in joy for something great and good that's happened to them, a blessing that's been bestowed upon them, can be seated next to somebody who has just been diagnosed with four-stage cancer, or somebody who's lost a job, or somebody whose husband has abandoned the family. You see the two opposites there, joy and sorrow, a deep, deep joy, deep, deep sorrow. But in the Mass, there's no manipulation. They can be there side by side and in their own personal way, but in a collective way, participate deeply in the sacred mysteries of our faith. This is what I always think about that in my head. Mm-hmm. You know, even as I'm looking out to the people and all that, and as I celebrate the Mass, as I try to deliver the homily or read the gospel, I try to think about the wide assortment of people we have there, and what people are going through, and really by the grace of God that we would be able to, you know, and I pray this every day, you know, that the Lord, now I'm asking really for the tongue of Saint Anthony, you know, because mm-hmm. he was a great preacher, and I know that I know how I am, and I know how I get in the way, but I'm asking always asking, you know, let me decrease that he increase. Let me lose myself that he be found. Let me die to myself that he live. That whatever I say, that it penetrate deeply the hearts of those who listen. And I know I'm my worst. And I mean, I'm the impediment. I'm the barrier. I'm the problem. But see, this is how God works. He doesn't look for the most intelligent. he takes simple people. Mm-hmm. I consider myself a simple person, flawed, deeply. I mean, deeply flawed, and I have nothing to boast of, but as St. Paul said, that we boast of Christ Jesus. But I was asking the Lord, please get me out of the way, because I'm always in the way, always, which is very humbling when you're called into a vocation such as being a priest, another Christ, where, Christ wants to take possession of your life. So, we say, yes, Lord, let me, and this is part of my prayer too, let me think as you think, let me see as you see, let me speak as you speak, let me feel with your heart, touch with your hands, let it be your touch. But that's where we're humbled by that, because we know ourselves too well. We're going to take a break, okay? So I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org. Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, the two Tonys.
Yay.
I like that, the two Tonys.
I was a little upset that there was only one St. Anthony yesterday. Little kid.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even recognize him. You know? So.
I heard it. I thought, okay, good. At least there's one. Or
right.
Aside from us being there.
Exactly. We're going to pray now, the Angelus, and then a decade of the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy, which the prayer given by Jesus just makes so much sense to me now in this day and time. But let us pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And from there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
You expire, Jesus, but the source of life goes forth for souls in the ocean of mercy, opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a font of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
All right. I was looking at the... it's just this chaplet of the Divine Mercy makes so much sense to me right now that we need to pray. And, you know, this is where we're called to participate in the mission of Christ, in the sufferings of Christ, in the redemptive, in the act of redemption. Mm-hmm. That's why when people balk at the fact that Mary was a co-redeemer, there's only one redeemer, that's Jesus Christ, but she participated deeply in the act of redemption. And so Simeon rightfully said, when she brought the when St. Joseph and the Blessed Mother brought Jesus to the temple for the presentation, and Simeon said, "Now, Master, let your servant die in peace, for my eyes have seen the salvation of my people." And he says of the child, "This child is destined for the fall and for the rise of many." And looking to the woman, he said, "And you," took it to the mother, "and you, a sword will pierce your heart, that the secret thoughts of many may be laid bare." And Mary pondered those words. But the Blessed Mother was there at the foot of the cross, participating in the redemptive act of her son. And it was from there that Jesus says, "Woman, this is your son," looking to John, the beloved disciple, who represents all the beloved disciples of our Lord. And he says, "Son, this is your mother." And from that point, he took her into his heart, into his home, as we take her into our hearts and into our homes. So she, you know, to say she's co-redemptrix is theologically 100% proper, acknowledging that there's only one redeemer, one mediator, but we have been called by God to participate in this work of redemption, in this work of mediation. That's why we intercede on behalf of each other. That's why our suffering has purpose and meaning, because we, you know, when Scripture says we make up for what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ, in essence, there's nothing lacking, but that we are part of the mystical body. Mm-hmm. The head can't be separated from the body, and if one member suffers, the whole body suffers, as Scripture says, until the parousia, until we, the eschaton, until we pass from this life into the next. In a definitive way, that means the final coming of Christ Jesus, you know, and the old order passes away and the kingdom is fully realized. In the meantime, we're in this, we participate in the redemptive work of our Lord. And so the chaplet of the Divine Mercy is given to us by Christ, which is a summation of it's the Holy Mass. It's the Paschal mystery. It's acknowledging before God the Father, because it's a prayer directed to the Father. All prayer really is directed to the Father in and through Jesus, whether we're conscious of it or not. Jesus is the only way. And even when we speak of the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, into the heart of Mary, through Mary into the heart of Jesus, through Jesus to the Father. It's all part of this. I don't quite understand how people can't get it. When we die, it's not going to be just me and God and God and me, but it's we're the mystical body, and this is what we celebrate in these days, right? We celebrate the communion of saints. I love that reading, and I mention it all the time, and it's just one of my favorite from the Book of Revelation. It opened the Mass on the Feast of the Assumption, on the Feast of the Saints, All Saints, last night. But when John has his vision, John is imprisoned on the island of Patmos for having given witness to Jesus, and he said a break. One second, we'll take the break. He has this mystical experience, and it's from this experience that he writes the last book of the Bible, the Book of Revelation. And so he's caught up in the cosmic upheaval and the final battle that's going to take place at the end of time, and which will usher in the full realization of God's kingdom. Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead, to separate definitively the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the chaff, good from evil. And but he's also drawn, John is drawn into heaven as well, and he sees, as the scripture says, he sees all these people. There's this great multitude which no one could count, from every nation, every race, every people, every tongue. I hear the Catholicity of the Church, the universality of the Church. And they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, and are wearing white robes, holding palm branches in their hands, and they're giving praise to God, amen, blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be to our God forever and ever. And then one of the elders spoke up and said to John, "Who are these wearing white robes, and where did they come from?" And he said, John says, "Well, my sir, you are the one who knows." And the elder said, "Yes." He said, "These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb," which is a reference to the fact that they were martyred, or they didn't renounce Jesus. They participated in the Holy Eucharist, in the fount of the divine mercy. Every time we participate in the Mass, if we participate properly, offering our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, or spiritual worship, we're being washed perpetually in a renewed way, being washed in the blood of the Lamb, which is the means to eternal glory. So it's just a very beautiful reading, but we're in the time. So we say that the saints, that's the church triumphant. We're the church militant. We're in the battle, and we've got to fight the good fight. And we have to know that we're in the battle. We have to feel that battle every day. And then, of course, the commemoration of the souls, that's the church suffering. They're done with their. It's kind of being this final purgation before they can be received into heaven. We want to make it a point to get there, and to humbly, get rid of our hardened hearts, not to be stiff-necked, but make it a point to convert and to say, "Lord, here I am. I come to do your will, or have mercy on me." This is why the chaplet is so powerful. Have mercy on us and on the whole. And see, that's the thing. It's not just a private thing, but have mercy on us and the whole world.
That's why I get emotional, and that is so beautiful. It's intercession, and it's not, again, that I. Well, you do take pity on those that don't know or don't understand. And I can just hear people now, "Oh, well, don't do that for me. Don't do that for me because you don't believe in anything." That's fine.
We do it anyway.
Right. But that's the beauty of just you sit there and it's in, for all mankind. The line just...
Well, I tell you, I think the parents who come to me all the time and how they suffer for their children...
Yeah.
These are good parents who they've given the children the faith, but they were so caught up in the world. God knows what we're made of, and He knows what the world is like, what's going on in this world, and that's why, we've got to wake up, and we got to pray, we've got to intercede, we've got to stand in solidarity with broken, wounded, sinful humanity, and pray, "Have mercy on us." This is like the prayer of Jesus from the cross, or the cry of Jesus from the cross, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And that's what more and more, when I look out there and I see what's going on, knowing that I'm not flying high and I'm not a saint, I desire to be a saint, but it's, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Anyway, we got to take a final break, and then we'll be right back to wrap up. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN, a Catholic radio voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Loyola.
Should politicians who boast, or I mean claim to be Catholic, be excommunicated if they openly support and even celebrate abortion and infanticide? Those pushing for excommunication are labeled as right-wing extremists or conservatives. Catholic bishops who waffle or refuse to excommunicate these politicians are labeled as spineless or liberal. Such arguments always come to their usual impasse because they are approached in the usual bipolarism that has become the norm for all discussions in modern Western civilization. That's funny. The last time I looked, bipolar was a mental disorder. Answers are never found by swinging between poles in the continuous dichotomy of winners versus losers, liberals versus conservatives, man versus woman. Answers are found in living in the both and not in the either or. It is a way of looking at things from 360 degrees, a more integrated and comprehensive and therefore honest view. Excommunication is not a punishment. It is not a rod that bishops can decide to use or spare. Actually, the church does not excommunicate. It does not throw people out. The church does not have to do that. Excommunication is simply the church affirming the choice that one of its members has made to stand outside what the church, the mystical body of Christ on earth, is really about. It is just a matter of being honest. A person claiming to be Catholic can be excommunicated for a number of reasons, for example, if they are divorced from their previous Catholic marriage and remarried outside the Church. People who have not received the sacraments of baptism and confirmation in the Catholic Church are not in communion with the Catholic Church, and therefore they cannot receive Holy Communion in the Catholic Church. As St. Paul tells us in his first and second letters to the Corinthians, excommunication is intended to be medicinal, always with the hope of the person once again coming back in communion with the church. Excommunication is also a way the church protects the integrity of the body of Christ on earth, which was purchased at the price of Jesus Christ's own blood. While excommunication may sting, like all medicine, it is designed to heal. We will be able to understand this only if we can think in terms of the both and not in the either or.
The winds of change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change. The Dutonis here, and we're going to wrap up. We'll come back to the whole question of hell, because I have to really kind of decipher this, but it's really quite striking, and we don't talk about it enough, and we need to, because and certainly, as we were saying before the break, the need to certainly to go to Mass as much as we can. And to pray the chaplet of the Divine Mercy, pray the Rosary. I just happened to find that I had here with me, and I want to conclude with this this prayer. But just some of the headlines today, or just some of the articles that I picked up, and I just very quickly looked at them. I didn't get a chance to decipher them, but some of the headlines, you know, vax rebellion bites. From Boeing to Mercedes, workers refuse the vax. Marines will be booted. L.A. sheriff warns mass exodus. Prisons face staff shortages. CDC confusion. Booster even after an infection. 1 or 2 or 3 shots or 4. This is going on and on and on. And I've heard this in a few places already now, but, and this is actually from NPR, ERs, emergency rooms, are swamped with serious ill patients, although many don't have COVID. Last time I was at the Mayo Clinic, I was talking to one of the nurses, and they're having to expand because they can't, they're seeing an uptick in all kinds of sicknesses, all kinds of things, even the cancer. And they don't know if it's just, you know, because of people putting off, or there's something going on, and they can't accommodate everybody, and so they're having to expand the oncology department where they actually do the treatments, mm-hmm. And they're asking people to do, you know, they're not taking in, I'm telling you what a nurse told me, you know, but I know I see where they're doing this expansion. Another something very disturbing to me: children's screen time doubled during pandemic and hasn't changed much since. This article says that most youngsters are spending almost 8 hours a day looking at smartphones, tablets, televisions, compared to less than 4 hours before the COVID. And then they go through this whole. The article goes through all the adverse effects, the thing, what this is doing to the young people, psychologically, morally, spiritually, it's having an adverse effect. So there's all these crazy things that are going on, and people, I hear it every day. That's why I keep talking about it. People are full of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of confusion. What is happening? And I don't know. I just happened to pick this up. I happen to have it with me right here, and I'm going to conclude with this prayer. This was Pope John Paul II's prayer. The Prayer of Consecration of the World to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, 1984. That was the year I was ordained a priest. So we'll end with this prayer. I hope we can make through it, get through it before the end. Immaculate Heart, help us to conquer the menace of evil which so easily takes roots in the hearts of the people of today and whose immeasurable effects already weigh down upon our modern world and seem to block the path toward the future. From famine and war, deliver us. From nuclear war, self-destruction, from every kind of war, deliver us. From sins against the life of man from its very beginning, deliver us. From hatred and from the demeaning of the dignity of the children of God, deliver us. From every kind of injustice in the life of society, deliver both us. National and international, deliver us. From readiness to trample on the commandments of God, deliver us. From attempts to stifle in human hearts the very truth of God, deliver us. From the loss of awareness of good and evil,
deliver us.
From sins against the Holy Spirit,
deliver us.
Accept, O Mother of Christ, this cry laden with the sufferings of all individual human beings. Help us with the power of the Holy Spirit to conquer all sin, individual sin, the sin of the world, sin in all of its manifestations. Let there be revealed once more in the history of the world the infinite saving power of the redemption, the power of merciful love. May it put a stop to evil. May it transform consciences. May your Immaculate Heart reveal for all the light of hope. From famine and war, deliver us. We're out of it. Out of time now, I think. So there's a whole litany thing here. They're absolutely beautiful, and it's just so timely. We'll come back to it. Listen, everybody, thanks so much for being with us. And really, truly, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? The inside is right. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.